Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday morning, 8:05 a.m. for 55 full minutes. First half of the hour, teaching from God's Word and prayer time. And the last half of the hour, we're going to bring you some great contemporary Christian and gospel music. And so we say welcome to each and every one of you, and we thank you, especially for those of you who are tuned in for the first time this morning. We say welcome to you, and we hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday morning schedule. And for those of you who have been faithful listeners for many weeks and months and years now, we say welcome to you and thank you for tuning in. We're especially grateful for those of you who have helped contribute to pay for this radio airtime, and we invite each and every one of you to do that. And we just ask you to pray about your part in partnering with this ministry and come before the Lord with an offering. If you have been blessed by this ministry, if you've been blessed by the teaching, why we ask you to return back to the ministry that is feeding you, to those that are feeding you. And so we just ask you to pray about your part. There's a couple of ways that you can partner with this ministry. Number one, by praying with us and being an intercessor in prayer. If you have a desire to do that and a calling to do that, let me know at my email, pureprairie@hotmail. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. And just let me know that you have been called to be an intercessor, and I'll get a word out to you at different times when I need special prayer support. And secondly, we would appreciate if you would pray about making a contribution to pay for not only this radio airtime, but for other projects that we have going. We're making plans right at this moment now to go back to Kenya in August, and we'll be there for 2 to 3 weeks preaching in crusades, revivals, church meetings. And so there's going to be a great opportunity to bring in the harvest there in August and September in Kenya. And so if you would like to help support that, also we have a couple of projects in Africa that we're helping to raise money for. One is to build an orphanage in Mumias, Kenya, out in West Kenya. And we've got a connection with a pastor there, Pastor Lucas Abanda and his wife Jane, and they want to build an orphanage for 30 to 50 children, many of whom have lost their parents due to the AIDS epidemic there in Africa. And so we would appreciate it if you would pray about partnering with us on that. All of your money will go directly to that orphanage if you decide to join in that endeavor. And also we have a project in Nairobi helping to raise funds for a Christian school in Nairobi, where there's currently over 200 children that are enrolled in the school under the direction of Pastor Boniface Mosoti and his wife Bonnie. And so that also is a worthwhile project. And so if you would pray about that, let me know. If you have any questions, get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. There's a great and mighty work going on in Africa. Many people are coming to the Lord. The people are very hungry to hear the word of the gospel. And so if you would pray about your part, you can do something mighty for the kingdom there and join in moving the kingdom forward on the continent of Africa. I've got pictures on my website, gatheroutcast.com. That's gatheroutcast.com. You can go there and look at the pictures of the African crusades that we did in Kenya last year, and also you can get to know Pastor Lucas Obanda. He introduces some of his children and the site on which they have purchased and hope to build the orphanage on that site. And so there's pictures of past crusades, still pictures, live audio recordings that you can download if you've missed radio broadcasts in the past. Also, we're posting on the front page of the website our radio broadcast each and every week. And so if you miss the broadcast for some reason, you can go to the website, and on the front page it says Message of the Week. Just click on that and you'll be able to listen to each week's radio message and catch it on the internet there, or download it to your iPod. It's in MP3 format, and so you can download it and listen to it at your convenience. Once again, our mailing address is Box 92, Norton, Kansas. That's Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654, and our website address, GatheredTheOutcast.com. GatheredTheOutcast.com, and the web is linked to a blog, jimrao.blogspot, with lots of good teachings on spiritual warfare, gifts of the Holy Spirit, sexual immorality, and many other teachings that you will enjoy. And you can read those there on the blog at jimrao.blogspot.com. So pray about your part in joining this ministry and supporting this ministry. Pray about the provision for the African missions. And we just thank you again for tuning in this morning, and we hope you receive a blessing from this teaching today. We're going to have a teaching that starts in Ezekiel 7, so turn there in your Bible to Ezekiel 7. We're going to have a teaching on the Black Horse of Famine, a prophetic dream that the Lord gave me a few years ago, so we'll take that up here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come into the hearts and lives of those listening today, and we just pray that you would bless them. Those that need a touch of healing or encouragement or strengthening, Lord, we ask you to meet them wherever they are and give them that touch, that encouragement, that healing. Lord, we pray for our country, for our president, for the Supreme Court, for the troops overseas. We ask you to bless our president and our Congress, the Supreme Court. Give them wisdom at this time, Lord, that they could reflect your knowledge, reflect your wisdom. Lord, we pray for this city, that it would be a city of refuge, and that many would come to know you here, that the power and presence of the Holy Spirit would be felt here through not only this radio broadcast, but through churches and men of God, women of God, as they go about their daily walk here in this city. And we just praise you, Lord, for the opportunity, the open door, to be able to speak your word across these airwaves into the hearts and lives of people, into their homes and their trucks, their tractors. We pray that you would just bless them. We thank you for the harvest this year, for the bounty that's in the field. And we ask you to bless the harvest. And we thank you again for your word that teaches and instructs, reproofs and rebukes us. And we thank you again for the opportunity, the freedoms that we have to be able to discuss your word, preach over the radio, acknowledge you in freedom. And Lord, we cherish those freedoms, and we ask you to protect this nation and to continue to give us the freedoms that we can speak your word and discuss you, acknowledge you freely and openly in this country. And we pray all these things in the precious holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Well, I've been watching with interest and curiosity the situation that has been unfolding in Europe with the collapse of the Greek economy and soon to be the collapse of the Spain economy and the Italian economy. And we watch with interest because we know that American banks have a lot of money invested over there. There's trillions of dollars on the line that have been invested by American banks. And so I see with interest and with a sense of foreboding what is coming to the United States if these economies in Europe happen to collapse, and I'm certain that they're going to. It's just a matter of time. Then you will see the dominoes start to fall. And you will see banks in America then who are vulnerable because of all the money they have invested in the euro and in the European economy. They will start to fall. And so you're going to see a domino effect come back to your hometown, to your local bank, and eventually to your doorstep. And the Lord has just been speaking me to warn the people. I've had many prophetic dreams about warning. And so I'm going to talk about one today. And I want you to know, brother and sister, I don't speak about this or about these prophetic dreams with casualness or with ease. It is very serious and it is very foreboding. And I speak about it with fear and trembling in my heart and with trepidation because I know what is coming, and I know that it's just a matter of time before these things come to our doorstep. And so I pray that you will pray about it. I don't speak to instill fear into your life or to cause you to get rattled and do foolish things, but just the opposite. I speak these things so that you will have wisdom, and so that you can prepare wisely, that you can take care of your physical house, the food and water and shelter that you need, and also that you can prepare and take care of your spiritual house, that you can be a wise virgin and have oil in your lamp. Really, everything that is going on here all across the world is done and brings glory to God in some way. Somehow God is going to get the glory out of it. Somehow he will be exalted out of it. And so even in the most calamitous situations, God brings glory to himself through it, through the actions of men. And so the whole thrust of this message today is to prepare, and also prepare your spiritual house. Get your life in order spiritually, so that no matter what happens, if calamity strikes and some of us may be taken off this earth, or calamity may strike and great fear and trembling come into the people, at least you will be covered by the blood of Jesus. You will have your feet on the rock. You will be standing, and you will be standing firm when Jesus comes to get you, either through death or calamity or the tribulation or rapture, whatever it is. However Jesus decides to call on you, you will be prepared and you will be ready. And so I want to start out today talking about a dream of famine. And the Lord gave me this dream when I was in Costa Rica several years ago. I was down there in the jungles of Costa Rica, down in the southern part of the country, in a mountainous jungle, preaching to the Quebecer people and indigenous people. And every single night I was awakened about 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's basically the first light of dawn down there. I was awakened with a dream of the prophetic future of America. And of course, you have to understand the setting down there. It's very, very quiet. It's very remote, very isolated. There's no electronic gear. There's no electronic apparatus, no TV, no computers, no iPods, no nothing. It's just you and the Quebecer people and that mountainous, rugged area, that terrain that is basically set aside from Costa Rica for any development. There's no real development there, and so it's a very quiet place, and it's very easy to get in touch with the Lord there. And so every single night God was giving me a prophetic dream about the future of America. And in the dream that I had one night, in the dream, the black horse of the sixth chapter of Revelation came out. And of course, you know, if you haven't studied the book of Revelation, please do study it. And the sixth chapter is the four horses of the apocalypse. And Revelation 6 reads like this: "And when he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand." And verse 6, "I heard as it were a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" And so we see that the black horse represents economy. The black horse represents famine and brokenness in the economy. The economy is symbolic of the scales, or I should say it the other way around. The scales are symbolic of the economy. In all economic transactions, there is a balance. You pay some money and you receive a service, or you receive a product or something in return for the money that you pay. And so in every economic transaction, there is a balance. And what the rider was saying, he was sitting on the back of the black horse of famine. What he was saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. Well, a denarius is a day's wage. And so he was saying that for a day's wage, you were going to buy a quart of wheat, and for a day's wage, you're going to buy 3 quarts of barley, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And those are also staples of the economy in the time of Israel, and also their staples in the economy here in America today. Well, that would imply to us a quart of wheat for a denarius, a quart of wheat for a day's wage, that, number one, there's extreme scarcity, and secondly, that there is great inflation, because a day's wage, well, if you figure here in America, if you translate that to America, just say a day's wage at $10 an hour would be $80 a day, times five. If you worked 5 days a week, that'd be $80 a day, and that would only buy a quart of wheat or three quarts of barley. And so you can see extreme inflation is indicated here. A quart of wheat for a denarius, and extreme scarcity is indicated here. And so when the writer came out in my dream, as I was pondering it in my dream, the writer came out and he was speaking these words as he was sitting on the back of the black horse, and all of a sudden the horse reared up and threw him off, and the horse then took off. And so we know that the Lord was saying to me that chaos is coming. Chaos is coming, that even in spite of the fact that there is some balance, that there was some equilibrium in the economy, that when the rider was thrown off, it just indicated to me that there's extreme chaos coming, and there's extreme calamity coming. There will be no balance. There will be nothing that is dependable. There will be nothing that is sustainable. And some of you that lived through the 30s who are listening to this broadcast today, you can probably relate to that situation, that you didn't know at times where you were going to get your next meal. You didn't know at times what was going to be in the store available to be purchased, if anything at all. I can remember at times listening to my grandparents talk about the 30s, and they would say you go to the store and maybe find a few bananas. Of course, we didn't have great import-export markets at that time, but they would say maybe for fresh fruit, you would find a few bananas or maybe a few apples. And so there were many things that were out of kilter, out of balance in the 30s. People were pouring their milk out into the ditches away from their farms, and they were destroying good, valuable food because there was no price for it. There was no opportunity to sell. And so the situation then will be a bit reminiscent of the situation that is yet to come. The only difference being is that we don't have people living on the farms to any great extent now in America. Most of the people are in the cities. There's very few people on the farms, and so there will be a serious dislocation of the food supply. There will be a serious breakdown of the food supply. And so God is saying to me to tell you today to prepare, get some food put aside, at least enough to last you a few months, until if breakdown comes, if calamity comes, a breakdown in the equilibrium and in the food chain, if it comes, at least you'll be prepared to be able to feed yourself, because the grocery stores will be empty for some period of time and at different periods of time. And so you will have some food put aside, some water put aside, and just be prepared in that way, in a physical way. So also that you can share with your neighbor and bless them in the name of Jesus. If you have some extra, you can bless them in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord is giving me this message today to help you to prepare, that the shock will not be too great. And again, I don't have a real keen sense of timing on this, although I know it is getting close. I know it's coming. I just feel a foreboding in my spirit. I feel a sense of preparedness, an urgency of preparedness in my spirit. And so I just urge you to pray about it. See what the Lord would have you to do. Don't just depend on my word or someone else's word. But I certainly wouldn't depend on rosy projections being given out by the government, or rosy predictions about the economy is coming back, or we're moving into a time of great prosperity, or everything is on the uptick. I would not depend on that. I would pray about it, see what the Lord says to you, and if the Lord says to you to move, well, then make haste to move. Don't put it off. Don't wait. If he tells you to start storing stuff up and start preparing in that way, well, then get about and get started doing that. Well, in Ezekiel 7:2, this chapter of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel is given the same type of word, the same type of message to give to the children of Israel, that a calamity is coming. In Ezekiel 7:2, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you. I shall judge you according to your ways, and I shall bring all your abominations upon you. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, a unique disaster, behold, it is coming. An end is coming, and the end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it has come." And then in verse 15, Ezekiel said, "The sword is outside, the plague and the famine are within. He who is in the field will die by the sword, famine and the plague will consume those in the city." And verse 21, "And I shall give into the hands of the foreigners as plunder, and to the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they will profane it." And so, as we look at America today, and we study the Old Testament, the rebellious, stiff-necked attitude of the children of Israel, that rebelliousness is very similar to what we see here in America today. God is crying out to this nation to get right, to come back to Him, to turn back to Him, to turn from our wicked ways. God is saying, wake up, and He's sending calamity in small doses. I believe that the Joplin tornado and Katrina were just small wake-up calls of what is yet to come, and God was just giving us a small dose of what is yet to come. And so God is pulling out all the stops to try to bring people to a recognition of Him. God is pulling out all the stops to try to get people out of their attitudes of nonstop leisure, pleasure, and entertainment here in America, and to get them to acknowledge Him as the sovereign God of the universe, and to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so as God pulls out all the stops, and as God tries to wake us up, you're going to see more and more things happen in the future that will put people on their knees and cause people to cry out to Him. Jeremiah 1:9, God establishes His sovereignty to do this. He establishes His authority to do this. He tells Jeremiah, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." And in verse 10, "See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And so God established through Jeremiah, His prophet, as He does all the prophets. In fact, Amos 3:7 says that the Lord does nothing without forewarning or speaking through His prophets and sharing with His prophets what He intends to do. And so if those of you out there, if any of you have a prophetic mantle, you know what I'm speaking about, that God is sharing with the prophets exactly what is coming. And those of you who have any spirit of prophecy at all, you know that God has been speaking to you. And so it is, as He speaks to me, that He will continue to do so, and I will continue to speak these messages to prepare you and to acknowledge that God wants this nation to come back to Him, that God wants this nation to turn to Him and turn back from our wicked ways. And I consider primarily the things that are bringing judgment onto America today, the three main things that are bringing judgment onto America today. Number one, are shedding the blood of the innocents. Proverbs 6:16 says that there are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven that are an abomination to Him, and one of the seven is the hands that shed innocent blood. And so abortion is bringing judgment onto us. The second thing is the continued push for an acknowledgement and acceptance of perversion and wickedness here in this nation through the homosexual lifestyle and homosexual marriage, and the acknowledgement and condoning and push by government now for homosexual marriage. And the third thing, I believe, is our attitude and our stance towards Israel, God's chosen people. Genesis 12:3 says that the Lord will bless those that bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. And so our attitudes, our stance towards Israel is very important, and I believe that God is going to bring judgment on America because of our continued push to divide the land in Israel and our continued attitude of turning our back on Israel. And so many things that is happening in America, many things that we see happening, those things are a direct result of the judgment of God, the wrath of God coming onto this nation, and he is removing his hand of blessing. And as I say this, I do not wish for this to happen again. It's just that God has given me the prophetic calling, the prophetic mantle, and so I'm speaking this out so that you will be ready, not only in the physical realm, but also spiritually. You will be ready, that you will have your trust in Jesus and not in man's systems, not in man's economy, not in man's ways, but to have your trust in Jesus and acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Well, I'm going to close today with a passage of Scripture, Psalm 2, which speaks about the nations. Psalm 2 says, "Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." In verse 4, "He, God who sits in the heavens, laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. God said to me, 'Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee.'" Well, that's a prophetic speaking of Jesus. "Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are those who take refuge in him." And so God says he blesses those who take refuge in him. God says that if we turn to him and acknowledge him and raise him up in our life and exalt him, that he will in turn bless us and he will exalt us. If we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will exalt us. And I just want you to know again, brothers and sisters, that that is my desire for you personally, and that is God's wish for you personally, that you be blessed and that you be exalted and that you live out your destiny and you live out your calling, your purpose here, that God created you on this earth for a specific purpose. And so we speak the words of blessing of God over you, but sometimes we know that God has to bring calamity, God has to bring judgment, and God has to shake the heavens and the earth to get people here to acknowledge the fact that he is God and acknowledge the fact that he is sovereign in their life. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to pray about accepting him, receive him into your heart. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins, repent of your wicked ways, repent of your sins, and say, "Jesus, I want to make you Lord of my life, Savior of my life. I want you to come in and save me today." Just get down on your knees and ask Jesus to reveal himself to you and to come into your life, come into your heart, and he will be faithful and true to do that. He is a faithful and true Savior, and he loves you so much. He loves you and he cares for you, and it's his desire that none should perish, be condemned, and none should perish, that all should turn from their wicked ways, acknowledge him, and know the joy of his salvation. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week.